Are you okay? You have a nice Christmas? Thank you for your cards and gifts. Really appreciate it. End of the year, last Sunday of the year, it's great. God has brought us thus far by His grace. Hallelujah. And just grateful to you as a church for your love and support of the things that God is doing in the midst of us as a church. My very sincere thank you on behalf of my wife to Pastor Andrew and Wendy for the work that they do looking after the church when we are not here. Hallelujah. And to the pastoral staff for what they do, thank you very much. Thank you to Karina for the way she's looked after the music and the worship and things. And I just appreciate them. And God bless you. Hallelujah. Give them a great hand. And I'd like to thank the eldership and their wives, the spiritual oversight of the church. Mr. and Mrs. Meelings, Mr. and Mrs. Bullock, Mr. and Mrs. Falili, who are not here, and Andrew and Wendy and Fia and her husband. Give them a great hand. Most of the departmental heads of the church are away for breaks. But if you're here today and you're a head of a department, can you stand to your feet? We just want to thank you for what you do. Hallelujah. Give them a great, 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 great hand. Hallelujah. To our deacons and those that look after those machines and look after the door and the car park, we salute you. Thank you very much. We can't pay you. There's not enough money in Whanganui to pay you. The church work is voluntary. You do it because you love the Lord. It's a very different kind of leadership from a secular work to God's work. A secular job, you know, the boss holds the purse string. Boy, you perform. If you perform, you'll get paid, you get promoted. And people are motivated because of that. And in church work, you come to church and the pastor tells you that you're a bunch of sinners, including him. You're saved by grace. So he doesn't tell you anything nice, but then he asks you for your money. He doesn't pay you. You pay, you know, you keep your money and then he tells you, are you all right? Because everything is done voluntarily and we do it because we love Jesus. Hallelujah. And thank you very much for you, what you do as a church. You are the best church in the planet. Yeah. Hallelujah. And that's not just me saying that. I've been to a lot of churches. I've speak in a lot of conferences. And sometimes when I speak at a 4,000 member conference, you come home and you look like a home group. But you are still the best church on the planet. And love you very much. Hallelujah. And to the First Lady of the church, she stands up. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. What's that? A very public profile, and that's not by design. Well, it is, but not mine. But I'm a very private person, and I just like simple things. And we are away so much during the year, not because we don't like you, because we love you very much. And that's why I appreciate these two people here very, very much. Because we are away so often, and you people said, why do you go away so often? Let's just a little peek through to what we do. I hate doing this. But I do a lot because of what my job as a the general superintendent of the church in New Zealand, looking after some close to 300 churches, and many of them have their own pastors and leaders, but have to give oversight to them and give them vision and direction. Also part of the head of churches in New Zealand. And on Christmas Day, I couldn't be here. I was away in Ohihi Bay, where we commemorate the 200 years of the arrival of the gospel in New Zealand. So I had to be there. I'm a member of the treasurer of the Asia Pacific Superintendents Gathering. It's a committee gathering of all the superintendents from here to the Philippines and to Tonga and all those other places, and I get a way to work with that as well. Not only that, I am a member of the Executive Council of the World Assemblies of God and represent New Zealand and Australia and the South Seas. So I have to go away and do a lot of that as well. Besides that, Fia and I head an international network of pastors that are mainly Samoans from all over the place, and we have to keep an eye on that as well. And then have to come home and keep an eye on the church, keep an eye on the National Bible College of the Assemblies of God New Zealand, and also be a husband and a father and a papa to my grandchildren, my children, and my wife. And that's just a little bit of what we do. So when we leave here, we preach. There is not a Sunday in the year I don't preach. And sometimes I preach during the week. And so when we leave here, we preach. We come back here and we preach. We never take a break from ministering the Word of God. So when you think that we're going away so often and you think that we're going to have a holiday, it's just a glorified taxi ride, okay? But we go out there to work. We come here, we work. And that's just part of life, all right? Don't forget, God gave Adam work before he gave him a wife. All right, so you girls, don't go with a guy that's not working. Hello, are you all right? Say amen. Amen. Okay, if you're visiting with us, we welcome you in the name of the Lord. The Dixons are here. They can stand up. If you don't know who they are, they are here. You stand up. So give them a great hand. Hallelujah. Mr. Lorenz Jr. is here. If he stands up, you can give him a great hand. Come on, Matthew. He's a young fellow over there by us, Shannon. All right. And if you're visiting, just welcome you to our church. If you think we are nuts, you are not wrong. Hallelujah. If you have a look at Galatians chapter 3, we'll share with that with you from there. And then we can go home and have a cup of tea. Hallelujah. And verse 2 and verse 5, I'll just read them just as a launching pad as we get into what we've been sharing about on the subject of faith. This only I want to learn from you, verse 2. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? It doesn't matter how much you do, you don't earn the Holy Ghost. You don't earn the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You just accept it by faith. Hallelujah. Verse 5, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracle among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Miracles comes by faith. Miracles come by faith. It's not what we do. Miracles happen when we trust and believe God by faith. We shared on that subject in the last few weeks. And last week we shared on the testing of our faith. The Bible says, produces patience. And patience is a commodity
that is lacking in our planet. I don't think there's ever been a time when patience was in abundance. I think it, regardless of what age we live in, there's always a need for patience. The Bible says the testing of our faith produces patience. And when patience has done its perfect work, you will be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's an amazing thing, because this rare commodity, when it does its work, will make you perfect and entire. That does not mean that you'll never make a mistake. It just means that you will be matured. You will be entire. You'll be in need of nothing. But it comes as a product of patience. And patience comes as a product of the trials of our faith. And any faith that is worth having is a faith that is worth testing. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Everything in life has to be tested. Your skills have to be tested. You can play rugby for the All Blacks, but there are times when they say, there's an All Blacks test. What is that? It's a testing of their skills against the skills of another team. It's a rugby match, but it's a test. At the end of the year, you don't study, but you pray like anything, because before you sit the exam that you pass, even though you never studied. You want a miracle. Why do you need an exam? Because you're tested to know your knowledge of your subject. Hallelujah. A captain is not known when everything is fine. A captain is known when there are storms. Why? Because the storms will test his skills. And there are stormy winds, the Bible says, that will fulfill the will of God in your life. And some storms that come to you are not actually from the devil. They actually come from God. You say, you mean God sent storm or talk to Jonah? Well, rest my case. Don't have to tell you anybody else. God sent a storm to find Jonah. But many times the Bible says stormy winds fulfill his word. And the reason why you have storms in your life is because God allows them so that the word of God may be fulfilled in your life. Many times storms can cause us to just forget it. Go home and sleep. Well, don't sleep in the wrong storm. Jesus slept in a storm. Are you okay? And Jonah slept in the storm. Jonah slept in the wrong one. Don't sleep in the wrong one. Okay? But storms come to test your faith. To test the metal of what you know. And trials of your faith produces patience. And then the Bible says, patience experience. At the end of your patience, if you stand patiently, at the end of that test, you will experience God. You will experience something that is supernatural. Why? Because at the end of that test, you will experience something. Are you okay? Are you okay? Now, the problem with us is our experience is not good. Sometimes our experience disappointed us. Sometimes our experience is not good because we leave God before God turns up. How many know that God can sometimes be very, very late? Talk to Martha and Mary. They asked Jesus to come. And Lazarus, their brother, was sick, and he didn't come. And then he turned up 4 days after the guy was buried. He was late. Hello? And God sometimes is late. It's late in our timetable, but God is never late in his timetable. There is no time limitations in God. Hallelujah. And when God is late, the miracle is always greater. And there's a great theme in the Bible called divine delay. It's when God is delayed. Jesus was going to the house of Jairus to raise Jairus' daughter from a sick bed. And a woman with the issue of blood intercepted Jesus. And Jesus stopped and talked to the crowd and talked to Peter. And Jairus is standing there waiting for Jesus to move. Jairus' daughter is about to die. And then all of a sudden, the Jairus' servants arrive and said, "Don't bother the master. The girl is no longer sick. She's dead." And Jesus said to Jairus, "Just believe." So they went out there, delayed because of the woman with the issue of blood, and raised the dead. Talitha kumi. "Young girl, get up." And then when she got up, she said to her, "Give them some honey." Are you all right? So, the Bible says the trials of our faith produces patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Experience give birth to hope. Why? Because we have patiently waited until we experience God, and the experience gives us hope. And then the Bible says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad our hearts by the Holy Ghost." Our problem is, we've got no patience, and therefore, no experience of God. The only experience we have is disappointment. Therefore, the next time you're trying to believe God for something, there's no hope. Why? Because your experience is not so good. How many people have I met who say, "Oh, I tried God"? The trouble is, you tried God. It's like trying to live. Have you ever tried to live? Why don't you just live? Because I tried God. Didn't work. How daft and stupid can you be and still breathe? You're living God's life, you're breathing God's air, you're eating God's food, and you say you don't believe in God. Why? Because you've had an experience that doesn't match the book. Let me tell you something. Get an experience that matches the book. Don't get an experience that matches your neighbor's experience, that matches some ding-dong's experience. Get an experience that actually matches the book. Because when you do, that experience will give you hope, and that hope will make you understand, hallelujah, and will not make you ashamed. Why? Because your experience sometimes can make you ashamed, makes you disappointed. Are you all right? Hallelujah. One of the things that can happen, there are two things you can do that will help you. See, miracles never just happen by God alone, even though you can't perform a miracle, but God invites you into a miracle. And God won't do it without you, and you can't do it without Him. But God invites you into this miraculous life, so that you may live a miracle life. But if you're not willing to be a participant, then it's very difficult. You just watch other people live miraculously, and you just live like everybody else. Are you all right? Say amen. So, there are two things you can do. Now, I don't like saying two things. Is that the only thing? You know, we're trying to simplify things. And God is simple, but God is complex. No one has ever understood God.
And yet the Bible declares, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Hallelujah. The Bible says this unseen God can be known by the things that are, talk to me, things that are seen. First the natural, then the spiritual. This unseen God can actually be known by the things that you see. Hallelujah. So one of the things you can do is you can go to the experience of another family member, another Christian. You can go to their experience, and their experience will motivate you to believe God for your own miracle. Hallelujah. Angel turned up, said to Mary, virgin from down Devon Road, and said to Mary, you're going to have a baby. Mary thinking, am I going to get married? No. You're going to have a man? No. But you're still going to have a baby. And without a kiss and a date, she had a baby. Why? Because it's a miracle. But God can't do it without Mary. And Mary can't do it without God. And yet it's a miraculous thing that is so... And Mary probably thought, how on earth is that going to happen? It's never happened before. All the scientific research said it can't happen. I've got nothing else to compare it with. And there's no study, no research on it. Our trouble is we study and then we think we can study and put God in our studies. And we can research and put God in our researches. That's our problem. So, Gabriel said, you're going to have a baby. In fact, your cousin Elizabeth, who's been praying for a baby, the whole district of Wanganui and beyond, know they can't have a baby. But your cousin Elizabeth, who's now older than Mrs. Dixon, and older than Mrs. Meelings, older than Mrs. Costello, your cousin Elizabeth is actually 6 months pregnant, and she is showing. Where is she? I haven't seen her for 6 months. And she went out to the hill. You know, that was Christmas story. Christmas, all right? Christmas, all right? And she went out there, and there's Elizabeth. She hid away for 5 months. Why? Why did she hide for 5 months? How would you like to be Mrs. Costello and then walk around with a baby? You'd be hiding too. People would be asking questions. How come she's old? Hello? And when Mary had to see Elizabeth, she had to see Elizabeth's miracle so that she can believe God for her own miracle. Because many times, miracles just supersede the natural laws that you and I know. And that's our problem. We try to put God in natural laws, not knowing that God made the laws. And if God wants to supersede the law, He can just do it Himself. Why? Because He's God. Can you walk on water? Huh? Can you command somebody else to walk on water? I saw this magician trying to imitate Jesus walking on water. Well, command then somebody else to walk on water and see if they can. Because they'll think. It's magic. That was not magic. Jesus walked on water. Let me ask you a question. Can you divide the Red Sea? Has a scientist ever divided the Red Sea? Has anybody ever divided the Red Sea? Well, yeah, Moses. Is he a scientist? No. What is it? A farmer. Born in a ghetto, raised in a palace, then running sheep in the paddocks. And then he came to a Red Sea, and him and God said, don't talk to me, just walk forward.
walked forward to the sea. Yeah, you did go forward. And as you go forward, the sea parted, became dry land. How can dry... And here comes the trevally and the octopus talking. What did you do yesterday? Oh, and they came along and they hit a wall of ice. He said, hang on a minute, we swam through here yesterday, now. And then they look around and they saw through the ice. There are people in our sea. How do you know there was ice? The Bible says the waters congealed in the depths of the ocean. What is congealed water? Frozen water. Let me ask you a question. Can you freeze salt water? No. Why? There's salt in the thing. Only God and Moses can do that. So it's not just a miracle that they divided. It's a miracle they froze the seawater. And God can supersede natural law anytime God wants to supersede it. Joshua did not know that the sun can't stop. And God had to suspend all the centrifugal forces of the universe and concentrate on one spot. Now, can you imagine the power to hold everything? Huh? And you think God can't give you $100 or heal your nose? What God do you serve? You don't believe in this God, go find another one. You go find your own God. Hallelujah. But many times our experience, we've never experienced God the way we ought to. And one of the key things you can do, go find another person and know their experience, because their experience will help you believe God for your own. That's good preaching, Pastor. That's why testimonies are a powerful thing. I got saved through the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. That fellowship was not started by a minister. It was started by a dairy farmer. And all he did was get the farmers and people to tell how they met God. Hallelujah. The second thing you can do is you can go back to your own experience, where you encountered God. Hallelujah. The songwriter said, when I remember what He's done for me, when I remember what He's done for me, not what He's done for everyone, but what He's done for me, I'll never turn back. But you need to remember. What did we do this morning? We had to remember what He did for us. We had to go to the table to remember what Christmas is all about. He said, Easter, not Christmas. The greatest gift God gave to humanity hung on a tree. Himself took our sin on His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Jesus hung on a tree. And God's gift to us came to us hanging on a tree. God ornamented our lives, but it was God's doing. And when we came to the table of the Lord, we came to remember, when I remember what He's done for me. And what you need to do is go back in your own history and find out where you encountered God yourself. Because when you do, it will give you hope for a fresh experience of God. Hallelujah. I was eating a Christmas lunch with my family day before yesterday. And we were praying, a lot of food on the table. And I cried. I often cry when I eat. And most of the time, the reason I cry when I eat is because most of the time when God talks to me, He talks to me while I'm eating. My wife tells me, don't talk while you eat.
She needs to tell God that. Because God talks to me when I'm eating. And often I will cry. The reason I cry is because I remembered an experience. I remembered something. Some years ago, we're pastoring a church in Mangaweka. And I did not have $2. No kidding. I could not afford a card for my wife. We were living on $21 a fortnight. And we just didn't have any money. The only reason there was gas in the car is because we had an account with the local garage. And I went to the local garage to fill the car and they charge it onto our account. Otherwise, we couldn't go anywhere. So we had the Christmas service. Everybody was going home to have their meal. We were going home for nothing. We were going to preach in Auckland. So we had the gas in the car and I was taking stuff out to the car, our clothes and things. And it was starting to drizzle. I remember one of the local ladies in the church, she's a single parent, three kids. She said, oh, we had a great Christmas shopping. We spent $200, got all everybody Christmas gifts. And I thought, I wish I had $2. She had $200 shopping. So all the parishioners went home to eat. The pastor and his wife went home to nothing. I was carrying out the stuff. I was getting wet because it was drizzling. And we were going to do God's work. We always do. Every Christmas we preach. And I was walking out and I was saying in my heart, this is not fair. I was crying. This is not fair. I'm working for you. This is not fair. I can't feed my wife. I can't even afford her a card. This is not fair. I hop in the car and she hop in the car. And someone in the church has come through and they probably knew that we were going away. So they threw a card into the front seat of the car. You know those long seats? We didn't have bucket seats then. And I'll just drive in the middle of the night when we go to preach different places. And she'll lie down on my lap while I drive. And when I want to talk and she's still sleeping, I'll run over a bump and it's... So what was that? I said, how are you? Anyway, there was a card there. And she said, what's that? I said, looks like a card. So she opened it. And inside the card was $60. I cried. I just said to God, this is not fair. And God gave us $60. I wanted to tell you something. It could have been $6 million. I thought, I can buy my wife something to eat. The only problem is Christmas. And we went through Taihape. There was nothing open. So $60 will not do us any good if there was nothing open. And I was just praying, God, I'm hungry. My wife's hungry. We need somewhere to buy something to eat. And we went to Waiuru. And right towards the end there, before you turn left to go to Owakuna, there was a little burger shop takeaway thing. And it was open. And we stopped there. And we went in, got this burger. We went past Waiuru a little bit, turned to the left of the road, and we sat there and we prayed and ate our... It was the most beautiful burger I've ever eaten. Ate it with tears of gratitude, had our drink, and said, God is good. And when I was sitting at the table a couple of days ago, looking at all the food, and I remember what He's done for me, and to go back to that experience where you encounter God, not necessarily somebody else's experience, but your own experience. You go back to your Ebenezer stones and look at what God has done and realize God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when you go back there, it will motivate you to know God is real. God is present in my dilemma. God knows how to lead me out. And when you go back there, hallelujah, that experience will give you hope. And that hope will not make you ashamed. Hallelujah. Go back to where you encountered Him. Now, let me show you something. It's in John chapter 4 and verse 46. It says, "So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made water wine." Jesus came again to the place where he performed a miracle before. Came again to that place. And sometimes you need to go back to the place where God performed for you. Where God's goodness and God's grace and love, God's power manifested for you. You go again. And he went again back to Cana of Galilee, where he turned water into wine. What happened? He's going to heal a nobleman's son. Hallelujah. Some of you are here today. It's the end of the year. It has been a difficult time. You've stood in the snow. You've stood in the desert. But you need to go back to where you encountered God. Because even though you're standing on the snow right now, there is seed germinating in the snow that is coming up. Even though you're standing in the desert, God's going to water that desert. And it's gonna bloom like a field. Hallelujah. Are you all right? Many times you need to open your eyes to the favor and the goodness of God. The miracle of turning water into wine was a miracle. But many people miss the first one. The first miracle is not water into wine. The first miracle is water. There is more water on the planet than soil. You are made of more water than you think. About 46%+ of your body is water. The miracle is water. Without water, you can't live. We talk about the deer panted for water. And we talk about the miracle of water when we shared. And we said, when the deer dehydrates, his eyesight is affected. His muscles are affected. His thinking is affected. Everything about the deer is, it's the same thing with our spiritual walk. It's the same thing with our physical body. When you are lacking water, it'll affect your eyesight. It'll affect your vision. Without a vision, you perish. If you can't walk properly, you can't walk properly because you haven't got vision. It'll affect your muscles. Without water, your muscles are affected. You can't walk properly. You'd no longer walk by faith. You're trying to limp along. You can't think right. Why? Because you need water. And the first miracle is not water to wine. The first miracle itself is water. Water is a miracle. Have you ever thanked God this morning that you've got this stuff? Now, this stuff is colorless and tasteless. But without this stuff, you won't even live. Without this stuff, the planet won't survive. This stuff that's so common that you don't even think about it. Wait until you find yourself in a place where there's no water. And then you realize it's the most tastiest thing. And even though it's colorless and tasteless, you need it more than you think. You know what? Without this, there will be no wine. You know what this is? This is water. You know what you need to do? Just fill the water jars. Every Sunday, fill the water jars. Because one day you're going to need wine. But Jesus' job is not to fill the water jars. That is your job. That is my job. If we keep on filling the water jars, when He turns up, He will turn the water jars into wine containers. Hallelujah.